Good morning, everyone. It is good to see you. Would you stand and worship with us this morning, please?
Never. your majesty, covered by your grace, so free. Here I am, knowing I'm a sinful man, covered by the blood of your voices with us sing, oh praise him, alleluia. Thou burning sun with golden beam, thou silver moon with softer gleam, oh praise him, oh praise. Now find a voice. Oh, praise Him. Oh, praise Him. Alleluia. 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 Let all things their Creator bless and worship Him in humbleness.
Yeah. So I'll
that we can just offer up our hearts to you, Lord. That if we just ask you freely, enter our hearts, this free gift, because of your great sacrifice. Thank you for Jesus Christ and his blood that covers all.
Yes, my name.
No name above. Father, may you just fill our hearts now with your scripture, with your word, your truth. As you speak through Fred, Lord, just bless him this morning. And may you be glorified. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
You know, it's always such a pleasure to be here with you guys. You are my favorite people. So so I just want to thank you in advance for your patience with me here today as I, as I give my life to serve the Lord. And I realize that I am so inadequate to what God calls me to do. And I feel you probably feel the same way. And today is Memorial Day. And I'd like to take this opportunity to honor our veterans and those who have served in the military. So would everyone who has served in the military please stand up? Let's give them a big hand. Thank you. Now I want you to stay standing. Now when I was serving in the military, I actually was sent to Vietnam. And my dear wife, she said, well, I feel like I served too because I made sacrifices. And you know, every night she would be at home watching the news to see if the base that I was stationed at in Vietnam was attacked that night. And so I feel like in many ways it was harder on her than it was me. And so I feel the same way she does, that those who are families of servicemen, would you please stand up? Let's give them a big hand too. Thank you. We realize the sacrifices that you as well have made. So thank you. You may be seated. Well, I would like to take the opportunity of remembering those who have gone before us as our servicemen who have given it all, who have laid down their lives for us. That's what Memorial Day is all about. But I would like to take this opportunity to also remember those who have gone before us in faith and remember what they have done and the sacrifices that they have made and the examples that they have left behind us. Because that is very powerful for us. When we remember Memorial Day, it's not for the benefit of those who have gone before us. It does them no good. They're gone. Memorial Day is for those of us who are left behind. It is for us so that we can perhaps, as we go through the mundane things of life, as we face the stresses that we face, as we look at the threats that threaten us, whatever securities we have. Well, when we look at what they went through, that helps us put our lives in perspective. And so it's important for us from time to time just to reflect about those who have gone before us. And so that's what I would like to do here this morning. And so that's why I've chosen as my text Hebrews chapter 11. And I would like to start there by looking at Hebrews chapter 10. Now, I realize that it is our tradition, and I applaud this tradition. I love this tradition of standing in honor of God's Word. But today, we have kind of a long passage of Scripture, and I'm sure the Lord would understand if we didn't stand up every time we read the Scriptures here today. So, again, we do honor God. I love God's Word. And I believe that it is the foundation on which we stand. And as a matter of fact, I grieve over the loss of the respect for God's Word, even in our churches today. So again, it's not that I don't respect God's Word, that I'm not having you stand. It's just that, for time's sake, that we will just read it here today. But let's start with Hebrews chapter 10, starting at verse 32. But remember the former days, and that's what we're doing today, isn't it? We're remembering the former days. We're actually applying Scripture here in our lives. But remember the former days when, after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of suffering, partly by being made a public spectacle through the reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property. Anybody done that here in this audience? Okay, we are so fortunate, aren't we? Especially as we remember our forefathers in our country. And I realize that the reputation of our country is at stake today There are so many accusations against who we are as far as our heritage goes. But our fathers knew. I remember reading about the pilgrims, how that they looked at themselves as stepping stones, as future generations would step upon them into the future by the foundation that they laid down. And so anyway, we remember that. So verse 34 again, you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourself a better possession and a lasting one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which is great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come, and he will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but those who have faith for the persevering of the soul. This passage here tells us not to throw away our confidence. It's interesting that this word confidence, literally in the Greek language, it means freedom to speak. God wants us to have freedom to speak about our faith. I don't know about you, but I think I'm hearing messages all the time that is trying to repress my freedom to speak about my faith, about the Lord Jesus Christ, about the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the truth that we have a creator that created this world. And as we'll look at here, he created it in 6 days by the power of his words, created it out of nothing. So everywhere we go today, there's an attack against the truth. But God wants us to have confidence to be able to speak that truth, freedom to speak. So now we get to verse 11. And of course, most of you here are believers. You've read through Hebrews chapter 11 before. You know it's the Hall of Fame of Faith. And so it mentions different characters in the past. God wants us to reflect upon those who have gone before us. And so he gives us this great chapter. And so we want to read through this. And so verse 1 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. The word assurance is the Greek word hypostasis. And the word, hypostasis. The word hupo means under, and stasis means to stand. So assurance here, what he really literally is talking about is that which is under where you stand, your foundation, that which you stand upon. And so he says, your foundation, the faith is your foundation. Your faith in what God has said in the inspired word of God, the Bible. That is our foundation. Now, faith is the assurance or the foundation of things hoped for. The word hope, it means that confident expectation. It's not wishful thinking like, I hope it doesn't rain tomorrow. It's Memorial Day after all, and we probably all have plans for tomorrow, and maybe it's a picnic or something like that. And the weather says it's supposed to be a nice day. The weather report does, but we hope, we have a wishful thinking that it'll be a nice day. Well, that's not what this word means. This word means a confident expectation for good. In other words, when we read it in God's word, we realize that God's in charge, God's in control, that God takes every aspect of our lives and they are in his hands. And he is going to work, as we sang here this morning, he's going to work all things together for our good. We have that confident expectation regardless of the things that we're going through. And so that's what he's saying here. Says, now our faith is the foundation of the things which we have confident expectation for good in, the conviction of things not seen. This word conviction here literally means to expose. And so therefore it means to reprove or therefore to convict. And so that's what he's saying here. It is the exposure, the bringing out of things not seen. As a matter of fact, it's taking those spiritual things and realizing that those things, those invisible things, are more real than the things that we can see with our physical eyes. Because the things that we see here upon earth, we look around us, we see this building, we see the chairs, we see the carpet, we see everything around us, that's all going to be destroyed by intense heat. It's going to be gone. But the things that are not seen, those spiritual things, the truths, the promises that God gives us, those will last forever. Our souls, those will last forever. They are more real than the things that we can see. So as we go on here, in verse 2, it says, for by it men of old gained approval. The words gain approval from the words here is where we get our English word martyr. It means that we have such great belief or great conviction in things that we're willing to lay down our life for the truth of those things. And so that's what he says here. He says, for by it men gained approval. They have that kind of confidence that they could die for the things that they believed in. They could be martyred for those. That was their testimony. They were going to speak forth those truths regardless of the cost. In verse 3 he says, for by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God so that what was seen was not made out of things which are visible. So again, we see here that from the biblical record that God spoke the universe into existence in 6 days out of nothing. All right, we believe that because that's what the Bible says. We believe that God is perfect, that God is truthful, that God is trustworthy, that he cannot lie. And so therefore, because we believe those things about God, then we believe also that his word has those same attributes. God has given us his word. He told us how things began, that he spoke it out of nothing, and he created it. In verse 4, by faith, well, let me just pause here for a moment. We're going to talk about a guy by the name of Abel, and many times we're going to talk about a lot of what we call, quote, Christian heroes, all right? And, you know, you've all heard this about veterans, Medal of Honor recipients and others who we look upon as heroes, and they have this idea that they're not heroes. They were just simply doing their job, simply doing what they were called to do. They were just normal, everyday people. And I think sometimes as we look at these biblical historical figures, that sometimes we think that they must have been made out of some different substance than we are. You know, they're kind of like you know, the Avengers or something. They're superheroes, you know. And so we just think that, well, they were able to do that, but, you know, I'm just this normal person in the flesh, and, you know, I'm not anything special, and you really can't expect much out of me because I'm not one of those, you know. I'm not one of those biblical heroes. Well, let's look at these what we call heroes of faith. And I think that what you'll see is that they were just made of the same stuff we are. They weren't any different than we are. And I think that there are a lot of those kind of people that if God wanted to, he could fill the universe with stories like this. But he chose these to kind of just give us an example of what really we can do with our lives, all right? There's a lot of heroes out there. You know what? There's a lot of heroes right here sitting in these chairs. That's you. By faith. That's what each one of these things starts out with. By faith. By faith, we can live a life that will change the world for people around us. We're just normal stuff, just like they were normal stuff. So, by faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. So, what did Abel do? All right. Abel had a testimony. Anybody here have a testimony? I think we all have a testimony, don't we? All right, Abel didn't have anything more than what you got, all right? He had an experience with God. That was his testimony. Have you had an experience with God? Then you've got the same thing that Abel had. But what did he do? It says here that God testifying about his gifts, that through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. So another thing that he did is he had a gift. He made a sacrifice to God. Anybody here ever made a sacrifice to God? I think every week, don't we? Make sacrifices for God? Don't we try to put him first in our life? Don't we give our tithes and our offerings? You know, don't we make decisions that we want to obey him rather than please our own flesh? Don't we all make sacrifices? Abel didn't do anything that you and I don't do all the time. Wasn't anything special. He lived by faith just like you and I live by faith. But you know, as I look at the story of Abel, you all know the story of Cain and Abel and how Abel offered up an offering, God accepted it. Cain offered up an offering, and God did not accept it. And I don't know, how many of you here have an older brother? Okay, I had an older brother, and we didn't always get along, and it was hard to live with an older brother. I don't know why that is, but us younger brothers, our siblings, we have a problem with that. Evidently, so did Abel. But I think as an older brother, that older brothers think, well, I know the right way. They wouldn't say it, but they're kind of a know-it-all, you know, because they're older, right? They've had more experience. They know more than you do, so they're always trying to boss you around, right? Well, anyway, I think that's kind of what took place here. And I can just see Cain as Abel's bringing his offering. Now, I want you to understand that they're vegetarians back in these days, okay? Everybody's a vegan, all right? And so of course, then Cain is going to offer his offering of the produce from the ground. That's what the scriptures tell us. But Abel comes along, and he is going to do something that is quite different. He is going to make an offering by sacrificing a lamb. And again, this is all purely conjecture. This is, you know, according to Fred Butcher's interpretation. But I can just hear Cain, the older brother, saying, "You are going to do what? You're going to kill an animal and pour out his blood on the altar? That is so gross. That is so cruel to the poor animals. Haven't you ever heard of PETA? My God would never do such a thing." All right? So again, you can just maybe, perhaps, feel some of the conflict that's going on. Some of the stuff that comes with this older brother thinking that he knows everything. And then this younger brother coming and doing something. And then the older brother finds out that the younger brother was right. Well, I kind of think that Abel maybe have known how Cain was going to respond to him. But by faith, he made his offering anyway. Now, that's something that all of us can do, isn't it? We can make our offering anyway. Perhaps there's some of you here that are have made a sacrifice to do something simple, like simply go to church or give money to support ministry. And you have relatives or family members that think, why are you doing that? You know? So anyway, Abel was no different than you or I. He didn't do some great thing. Nothing that we cannot do, but he simply lived by faith. So remembering the faithful strengthens us to do what is right regardless of the consequences. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. He was not found because God took him up, for he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. Now, I want you to notice that Enoch was not a great warrior, wasn't a great leader. Didn't lead armies, didn't start a great business, wasn't rich. He simply did one thing. He wanted to please God. Anybody here today want to please God? Raise your hand. I'd like to see. All right, every one of us who cry out, Abba, Father, from our heart because we have been regenerated into the family of God, we want to please our Father. You're no different than Enoch. Okay? Remembering the faithful encourages us to want to please God. Verse 6, and without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. So pleasing God requires two things. These are really, really hard hurdles to get over. Number one, you have to believe God exists. Anybody here believe God exists? Okay, and number two, you have to believe that he rewards those who seek him. You believe that God rewards you when you seek him? Okay, you're just like Enoch. Okay, no different. But yet we need to remember these heroes in the past to understand that we're just like they are. They're not made out of any special material or stuff. They are just people who simply want to follow Jesus and please him. Verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Now, we kind of think about Noah and the great thing that he did, building this ark, spending 120 years doing it, and being a preacher during that whole time. But you want to know something? In one sense, Noah was a horrible failure. Here he preached for 120 years, and only seven people, just his family, responded and joined his church. I mean, that's put up today, he really wouldn't be mentioned as a great preacher today, would he? Only seven people, just his family, joined his church. You know, sometimes we share our testimony and our witness, and we just think nobody's listening, and what good am I? But you know what? You can live by faith. You can still speak the truth. You can share your testimony and leave the outcome with God. Noah is here in the Hall of Fame of Faith because he just simply did that. Didn't have great results, but he was faithful. He did what God called him to do. Well, let's go on. So Memorial Day like this, remembering the faithful helps us to recalibrate. It helps us to anticipate his soon coming. In the previous chapter, in chapter 10, verse 37, says, "For yet in a very little while he was coming will come and will not delay, but my righteous one shall live by faith." So remembering these heroes of faith helps us to recalibrate our lives, to help us to remember that Jesus is coming again. I mean, we've been waiting around for a long, long time, but the Bible tells us that he could come at any moment. So when we remember these people like Noah, Noah preached for 120 years, then one day he got into the ark and God brought the flood, and that was it. It was over. Something very similar is going to happen. And it could be today. Jesus is coming again. Verse 8, "By faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he lives as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for a city which has a foundation, whose architect and builder is God." You know, this is nothing more than what God has called each of us to do. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain as an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved for you in heaven." When you responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ and you were regenerated into being a new person, you didn't know where this life was going to lead you. You didn't know where it was going to take you. At that moment, you became just like Abraham. You became a stranger and an alien in this world. This world was no longer your home. You're just traveling through. You have another destination. So remembering the faithful helps us live as citizens of heaven, just as Abraham did. Verse 11, "By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, there was born even of one man, and him as good as dead at that, as many descendants of the stars of the of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore." So, Sarah here was part of a very unique miracle. I don't think there's anybody like Sarah here today. There's very few of us who are as old as she was when she conceived Isaac. So I don't think that's going to happen to any of us here, even though I just saw in the news the other day that there was this politician that said that men could have babies. I don't know how it's possible, but, you know, I guess if God could do that for Sarah, well, anyway. but there is another miracle that God can give us a part in. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 27, it says, "For it is written, rejoice, barren woman who does not bear. Break forth and shout, you who do not, who are not in labor, for more numerous are the children of the desolate than the ones who has a husband." It may be impossible for us to give birth physically, but God has given us the ability and the privilege of being a part of spiritual conception, of seeing the miracle of regeneration take place in a person's life. We can all have that kind of faith, that God wants us to be a part of rebirth for someone else. Be a part of a miracle. Now, I don't know about you. Well, I do know about you. If you've received Jesus Christ, then you've experienced that miracle. I can tell you that I'm a new person. I got saved when I was 20 years old. And I am totally different from that old Fred Butcher. I am a new person. I am not that same person. That was a miracle. And the unique thing is that God gives us the opportunity to be a part of a miracle like that. That miracle of rebirth, changing my life completely from who I was to a new person, I don't think that Sarah conceiving at the age of 90 was a bigger miracle. You see, and we can all have a part in that. So remembering the faithful gives us confidence to share the gospel, that God can do that miracle. I know that that many times we share our faith and it just seems like nothing happens. And we're just wondering, well, that sure did a lot of good. I remember one time when Marty and I were first married and we were going to Bible college, we lived in this trailer park. We called them trailer parks back then, and we called them trailers. They call something different today. But the same thing, it was a 10 by 51 trailer house. And finally, when we were going to have our third child and two of them were going to have cribs in the living room, we decided we probably needed a bigger place. But anyway, when we were living there, I remember the Lord one night, I was praying, and God just impressed upon my heart that I was supposed to go over to the next trailer over and share the gospel with them. And I argued with God for a long time, and finally I said, okay, Lord, you know. And so I went over there, knocked on the door, and, you know, here I was, not knowing what I was supposed to do, but I knew that God wanted me to share the gospel, so I went in, shared the gospel, and the guy kind of looked at me like deer in a headlight, and I went back home, and I thought, well, that sure did a lot of good. I don't know whatever happened because of that, you know? But yet, as we look at these heroes of faith, these ordinary people of faith, and we see what God called them to do, we can believe that God could do miracles through us as well, simply by being obedient, just obeying Him. So, remembering the faithful gives us confidence to share the gospel. Verse 13, all these died in faith without receiving the promises. But having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking about that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desired a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. When you are coming home with your family, with your little ones in the car, and you're coming home from a long, extended trip, you know, and what is the question your kids keep asking you?
Are we there yet?
That's it. Are we there yet? Okay. And don't we kind of have that same question today? Are we there yet? Are we at our heavenly home? Well, remembering the faithful reminds us that life is the journey, heaven is the destination. Okay? That right now, we're just on a journey. And we can keep asking, are we there yet, Lord? And but this is not the destination. This life right now is simply a journey to that destination. Verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was offered up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, in Isaac your descendant shall be called. He considered that God was able to raise the dead, raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. Now, first of all, God promised Abraham that he would multiply his descendants through Isaac. Okay, that was God's promise. Now, Abraham believed God. Do you guys believe God? All right. Do you believe his words, his promises are faithful? Do you ever believe that his promises can be thwarted? Okay, all right. Well, Abraham had that kind of faith. Now God says, okay, I want you to take Isaac, your only son, this youth, he's not married, never had any children. This is the end of your line right now, Abraham, and I want you to sacrifice him, okay? And so Abraham thinks, okay, God wants me to do this, but God's word, his promises, says that he is going to multiply my descendants as the sand on the seashore. And so he begins to look at God's promise and God's command and line them up. And he comes to the conclusion that God cannot lie. He's made a promise. And God is faithful. He's given me a command. So somehow I have to line those two things up, even when it looks like they're contradicting one another. And so therefore he concludes, well, then God's going to raise my son from the dead. And by faith, without wavering, he took that journey to that hill. He built that altar. And he tied his son to the altar. And he lifted that knife to take his life when God stopped him. But God saw his faith and counted it to him as righteousness. God does the same thing for us today. So, remembering the faithful reminds us that nothing can thwart the promises of God, not even death. Nothing can thwart the promises of God. You can stake your life on it and the life of your family on it. Okay? verse 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come. By faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his sons or his bones. Now, Isaac knew that even after he was done, God's program would go on. Jacob knew that even after his death, God's program would go on. Joseph knew that even after his death, God's program would go on. And even after our death, God's program, which involved our lives, will go on. So remembering the faithful reminds us that God's faithfulness will impact people even after we are gone. We will leave a legacy behind that will impact future generations for Jesus Christ and for heaven. Do you believe that? Do you believe that your life really matters? That it's not just about what you're doing in this lifetime, but it has eternal ramifications. If you believe that, then you're just like these people in this chapter. Verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. The Greek word here for beautiful, the Hebrew word, the translation, the Greek word which is translated from it is the word polis, which where we get polybureau or politics, but it has to do with city, okay? And the idea that he was beautiful means that he was kind of a city child in contrast to a redneck, all right? And so when they looked at him, it wasn't that he was just a pretty kid. It was just he was special. They could see when he was born, they knew that God had a special purpose for him. And that's basically what it's saying here. And in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand so that we should walk in them. You see, God has a special plan for each one of us. He has works for us to accomplish. Now, again, I want you to think back about all these great heroes that we talked about. Abel, what did he do? He offered up a sacrifice. Enoch, what did he do? He just wanted to please God. I mean, as you look back at each one of these things, we see that these people did not do spectacular things that the world would really believe as spectacular. They simply lived by faith. And that's what God calls us to do. We are just like they are. Okay? We can have an impact upon this world too as part of God's plan for our life. Now, maybe we're not going to lead nations or be mighty warriors and do any of those kind of things like many of our veterans have done. But we are going to impact future generations. We are going to leave a legacy behind. We are going to make a difference with our lives if we live by faith. So remembering the faithful reminds us that each of us have a significant purpose in God's plan. Verse 24, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure the ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. So remembering the faithful teaches us that the reproach of Christ is greater riches than the treasures of this world. We believe that, don't we? I mean, I think that every one of you here have made decisions where you have given up perhaps maybe fortune or fame in order to simply follow Jesus. That's what Moses did. That's what God calls us to do. verse 27. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was unseen. By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkling of blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. By faith he passed through the Red Sea, as though they were passing through dry land. And the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. Are any of these great feats? I mean, it doesn't really take a lot of ability to slay an animal and take the blood and put it on a doorpost. It really doesn't take great ability to simply walk through a path in the sea. It doesn't really take great ability to march around a city. All right? Those are normal, common things that everybody in this room can do, right? That's all they did, but they did it in response to obedience to God by faith. But again, as we kind of think through this, we think about maybe how some of those issues would have played out in real life. For instance, let's say that God told you to slay an animal and take the blood and put it on the doorpost, to go inside, stay dressed, cook your meal, and get ready to go in the morning because you're going out of town. All right? All right? What are your neighbors going to think? They're over there, you got this lamb, and you're killing it right out in the front yard. I used to think as a pastor when I was back over in Eastern Oregon, and there was a lot of livestock and stuff over there, but and a lot of people raised sheep and goats and whatnot. And so anyway, I always thought, well, I wonder what would happen, what it would say in the newspaper if we decided to actually slay a Passover lamb at Easter time. And what would happen if we actually thought about we did put blood over the doorposts and so forth. I mean, they would think we were crazy. Okay? Well, maybe that's what Moses was going through. It did take faith. I mean, what he did didn't take a lot of ability, but it did take faith. And that's the same thing is true with us, is that what God calls us to do doesn't take a lot of ability. I mean, after all, look at me. I'm up here preaching, right? Okay? But it does take faith. It does believe that God is, and that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. So what I'm trying to do as we think about Memorial Day, as we remember these faithful people, is to especially show you that we're no different than they are. And that when our story is written, and we'll see here that Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, when our story is read in heaven someday, we will have a record like this, of just simple, ordinary people doing stuff that doesn't take a lot of ability or skill and just doing it because that's what God called us to do, to live by faith. So remembering the faithful gives us confidence to obey God even when obedience doesn't seem to make much sense. Verse 31, by faith Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she welcomed the spies in peace. Remembering the faithful gives us courage to stand alone. Here she was, the only person in the whole area of Canaan who stood for God. I mean, didn't take a lot of ability, but it did take faith. So remembering the faithful gives us courage to stand alone. Verse 32, and what more shall I say? For the time will fail me of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouth of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, and put foreign armies to flight. The women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting the release, so that they might obtain a better resurrection. So remembering the faithful gives us confidence that by faith, we can come overwhelming odds. But it doesn't stop there. Listen to the next verses. Verse 36. And others experienced mockings and scourging. Yes, they were chained and imprisoned. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death with a sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated. Men of whom this world was not worthy, wandering in the deserts, mountains, and caves, and holes in the ground. You know, God doesn't always give us victory, does he? Sometimes he gives us persecution, trials. Sometimes we think of our lives as he gives us failures. I remember the first church I served in, I served there for 5 years, and I did such a great job, they kicked me out after 5 years, you know? And I felt like a failure, You know? But again, that's part of what God, that's part of your faith, isn't it? Is to keep on pressing on, even when it doesn't feel good, it doesn't look like you're succeeding, but you're still doing. I just came unplugged, I think. But you just keep on keeping on. That's what they did. And yet God says, when he says they weren't failures, as a matter of fact, the world wasn't worthy of them. So what do? When it looks like you're experiencing failures. Many of you here share my sense of failure as your own, as you think of maybe you have prodigal children not walking with the Lord. At times I deal with struggling with sense of failure as a father. What did I do wrong? You know, where did I go wrong? You know, but all of us face those kind of things. But what do? You keep walking with the Lord. You keep trusting him. In the midst of all of that. Remembering the faithful gives us strength to endure persecution. Last of all, verse 39, and all these, having gained approval for the faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. So, again, just look at this. Their story of this Hall of Fame of faith, it doesn't end there. It goes on right out there. Right out there. You people, right here. It didn't end with Moses or David or Jephthah or Gideon or any of those people. That story goes on. It will not be completed without you, without us. We also live lives of faith. And these same things are true of us. So again, this last one, remembering the faithful, reminds us that God's plan is not finished without our part. We have a part in this. So verse 12, the very next chapter, starts out with these words. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, that is, those who have gone before us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race set before us. They ran their race. We have our race. Their lives were no different than our lives. We're going to do the same stuff. We do the same stuff. So lay aside sin. Pursue God with endurance. The Christian life on earth is not for the faint-hearted. Look at the next verse. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Remember the most faithful. Remember Jesus. Fix your eyes on him, not the world, not even other believers. But fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher, the designer, he who designed you and wrote your story, the plan for your life. His plan is perfect, not to make your life here happy, but to make you perfect for eternity. God is more concerned with your holiness than he is with your happiness. Can you remember that? God has a plan for you to fulfill, which is so significant. Nobody else can do it. You alone can fulfill those purposes. You alone will have your name someday written in God's Hall of Fame of faith, to accomplish the things that God has designed for you, just as these people fulfill God's design for their life. Verse 3 of chapter 12 says, for consider him who endured such hostilities by sinners against himself, so that you do not grow weary and lose heart. So Memorial Day, a day to remember the faithful, so that we do not grow weary and lose heart. Let's pray. Father God, again, we just want to thank you for those who have gone before us. And Lord, as we look at the lives of these men and women who are mentioned here in Scripture, we realize they're just a small part of the list of those who have gone before us, those who have gone after the completion of the New Testament. Great men and women that we all are familiar with, but millions of other faithful Christians who went about their lives day by day, living by faith. And Lord, not only that, that story is not completed without those of us who are in this room here today, Lord, that the author of our salvation will write that book, and someday it will be read before myriads in heaven as they read about our faithfulness and how we simply lived by faith. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. I'd like you to reflect upon this last song as it's played for us. And then you're dismissed.
Thanks for joining us in the study of God's Word with Pastor Kerry Wacker. We'd love to have you join us in person for worship each Sunday morning at 9 a.m. or 10:45 a.m. We also meet Wednesday nights at 6:30 p.m. Warren Community Fellowship is located at 56523 Columbia River Highway in Warren, Oregon, between Scappoose and St. Helens. For more information about Warren Community Fellowship or about WCF Ministries, call us at 503-397-4387. And don't forget to like us on Facebook.